Well, this first Sunday after Christmas is one of those tricky ones because it can be a bit of a letdown. We've just gone through Advent, we've had Christmas Eve, which is very important for some people and just important for the rest of us. Christmas Day, where the two groups are usually reversed, at least a little bit when it comes to presents. And so you sort of wonder, after all of Advent and the actual day of Christmas, what's next? And that's where the sermon title comes from, So Now What? And we've gone through the four Sundays of Advent, and we've looked at peace and hope, joy, love. So what's after that? Well, there's a lot that comes after that, and I find it interesting, and I always do, when the lectionary has us in this first Sunday after Christmas, the story of Jesus going back to Jerusalem after the visit there to engage in discussion with the people who really knew the law. We'll skip over his giving his parents a heart attack, just for a moment at least, because it seems to have worked out fairly well. But when we look at this, we begin to get this idea of what comes next. Because really, we don't get a whole lot of information about what happens from Jesus' birth until he's about 12 and sneaks off to go and engage in this conversation. It's not the kind of thing most kids sneak off to do. They usually sneak off to go, I don't know, play video games or something. Jesus snuck off to go and confound the religious scholars of the day. But we don't have that information in there, in between those two times, because we really don't need it. Jesus grew up, just like every other child, and then started to do what he saw, even at 12, as beginning his mission on earth. And I've always wondered what that looked like when Jesus looked at Mary and said, well, you should have known I'd be here. It's not like it's a surprise to Mary and to Joseph that Jesus was an unusual child, that there was more to him than just the usual demands of being 12. And so as he looks at them and says, well, you should know this is where I'd be, but you didn't, so that's okay, and I'll go back and I'll continue to be obedient to you. And so maybe that's what we need to look at this point. And that's where our Colossians reading comes in. Because if Jesus was sufficiently aware at 12 that that's what he needed to do, then I think it's worthwhile for us to look at some of the things that we're called to do, which doesn't turn our back on the just the joy of the Advent season and Christmas by any means, because those prepare us for this. Advent is a number of wonderful things, and one of the things I like the most about it is that it stretches out the opportunity for us to think carefully about Christmas and to enjoy Christmas. For people who try and cram all the enjoyment of Christmas into Christmas Day, I actually feel a little sorry for them. Because even if you have no faith whatsoever, you have no interest in spiritual things, you're probably interested in time with family and enjoying each other's company and giving and receiving gifts. And to try and get all of that goodness in a mere 24 hours just seems impossible. But Advent doesn't just give us that elongated sense of delight about Christmas. It also gets us ready for the next parts of the church year, the next parts of what we need to do. And when we think of So Now What, we take the reality of the birth of Jesus, and then we begin to apply to our lives what that means. And in Colossians, Paul says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And he goes on with some other things in there, but we drop down to verse 15. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Because that's one of the things that Jesus brought. That's one of the Sundays of Advent. Peace. And when we look into the future as best we can, when we look into another church year, which has begun already in Advent, and look into another calendar year, which starts in just a couple of days, well, what should we do? As I've said before, in my perfect world, which of course isn't anybody else's, everybody's Bible would be tailor-made to them, and you'd open it in the morning, and it would tell you exactly what you're supposed to do for the day. So you wouldn't have to worry about it. You wouldn't have to think about it, really. So this is just a sign of laziness on my part, so I'm glad it isn't that way. But when we look into the new year, because we don't know everything that's going to happen, we know from experience that there are going to be times of great joy. There will probably be times of at least sadness, if not sorrow. There will be days and days that seem just like every other day. And through all of those, we need to be compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. We need to take the reality of the birth of Jesus, whether it happened in a stable or not, doesn't matter. I don't know how many of you have interacted with the Pope's new book. I have not. I've just heard about it, where apparently he takes to task the whole notion of sort of our romantic view of the birth of Jesus in a stable. Maybe it was a cave. Who cares? Like, none of that really matters. What matters is that Jesus came. And that when he came as a baby, he came not just to see what it was like, but he came that we might know for certain that when God asks us to do things as human beings, that he's asking it from the perspective of Jesus, who knows what it's like. So when Paul, speaking the inspired words of Scripture that says we need to be compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient, that we need to bear with each other, we need to forgive each other, and we need to put love on top of all of those things, he's saying it from the perspective that this can be done. It can be difficult for us to look for the next year and think that we have to do those things all the time if we know for certain there are some people or there are some situations that will come up that really, really stretch our abilities to perhaps be patient or to be kind. I suspect I'm not unusual, certainly not unique, in that there are some things that I find really, really hard to be patient with. Some of them are around inanimate objects like technology, but some of them are around people. There are some people that respond in particular ways that I find difficult to be patient with. And often find myself saying, at least in my head, oh, come on, you know this already. This isn't a surprise. Why are you reacting this way yet again? But the example that we have of Jesus, that we see all through Scripture, whether in detail or in the larger picture of where the author of Hebrews says that Jesus experienced everything we did or we will on life, on earth, when he was on earth, I know I can be patient there. And not only can I, but I should. Because the language that Paul uses is interesting here. Paul doesn't say, although he could, he doesn't say, give witness to the reality of the Holy Spirit within you by letting the Holy Spirit energize you for these things, which is true. But rather, he puts the onus on us to respond to that using the imagery of clothing ourselves. By the time we've reached this age, we generally speaking clothe ourselves. If we're so inclined, we might get some advice from the other people in our house about what goes well with this or that. But we put our own clothes on. It's a decision we make. And when we put them on, what it does is it says that this is what I'm about for the day. What Paul is telling us is that these things are choices that we need to make. And he says we need to make them because we're God's chosen people. He says that we are holy. He says that we are dearly loved. And then says we need to do this intentionally. It's very difficult to get dressed by accident. If you get dressed in the dark, as many people do because somebody else is asleep or whatever the case might be, you might get the wrong piece of clothing on, but it's highly unlikely for you to suddenly go, wait, where'd this come from? Well, because we do this on purpose. And when we choose to clothe ourselves in whatever it is, obviously we have a bit of a responsibility for what we've chosen as well. And this whole idea of taking these things upon ourselves, we need to remember that we're not making these happen solely out of our own strength. To push the analogy perhaps as far as it can go, when you clothe yourself with whatever you're wearing for the day, you don't make it from scratch at that point. You take it from the closet or from a drawer or whatever it is and you put it on. It's already there. It's just a matter of choosing to put it on. Well, but the ability to be compassionate and kind and all of these other things is already within us. When we moved into the relationship that we have with God through Jesus, the Holy Spirit came into our lives, came into us, and enables us to do things that perhaps we wouldn't have been able to do before, or would have been tremendously more difficult. But the Holy Spirit comes in and provides for us the ability for us to actually be these things, or to do these things. But we have to choose to do them. The Holy Spirit declines to ride roughshod over our volition, over our will, over our choices. As I've said often, it would be convenient, but nothing more than that, if we couldn't sin, if we could only do what we were supposed to do. But it would be convenient in a way that would take away part of our essential humanity, our ability to choose what we do. And so when we look at moving into this new year, and when we think, well, so now what? Well, we need to choose to clothe ourselves with these characteristics. We need to choose to take them upon ourselves so they are as unmistakably within us as the clothes that are upon us. Not everyone's got a tremendous fashion sense, but all of us have enough sense to put clothes on. And when you're looking at sort of the minimum requirements of society, being clothed is one of them. Being clothed elegantly is an option you can choose or not choose, depending on your abilities. And Paul says we need to choose to wear this kind of thing. We need to take these upon us. We need to say to ourselves, we are going to be compassionate because that's part of who we are. In a sense, it's like admitting what's already there. It's always strange when you compliment someone on what they're wearing and they act as if it's brand new to them. Oh, this? Well, what is this? Well, what do you mean, what is this? You picked it and you put it on. It's whatever you chose. And I know where that comes from, and we'll get into that perhaps some other day. But when you choose to put these things on, they become more real. They become more likely. When we remind ourselves frequently, either through this passage or through whatever it is that triggers that remembrance within us, that we've been called to put these characteristics on, so they are as obvious as the clothes we're wearing, it's easier to remember to be patient. It's easier to remember to be kind. It's easier to forgive people when we remember that we're not just somehow making this happen just all entirely on our own, but rather we're giving the Holy Spirit free rein to energize us to do these things that we're called to do. the interesting thing here is that we're not told to go out and buy a new wardrobe. There's no sense here that we have to go and acquire these things from a new source. It's the very strong sense is that they're just there already. We just need to put them on. And whether the imagery of getting dressed in the things that God has called us to do is helpful for you, as it is for me, that's wonderful. But whether the imagery works for you or not, what we look into the new year to do, and we'll probably talk a bit more about New Year's and resolutions and all that next week, but we look at all of these things and say, this is something that we can do. And that this year coming up is one in which we can work hard at being what we really are, which is compassionate, humble, forgiving people. We can give the Holy Spirit the room needed to work within us so that this clothing that we put on will be obvious to all. Sometimes the things we're called to do in Scripture are really hard. That's just the way it is. And sometimes we wonder how we could possibly do them. But these are things we know we can do. And for most of us, for all of us here, I'm sure, it's going to be an opportunity. This year will be an opportunity to extend those somewhat. To be patient with more people, or perhaps more patient with the people we are already working on. This isn't brand new for any of us. But what this is an opportunity for us to look into the year coming up and say, these are the things we are going to continue to work on. We are going to continue to grow in. So the now what of next year is not just more of the same, but more of the better. More of who we're called to be, and more of who we truly are. Amen.